Can I just say a very warm welcome to everyone again? And just wondering, they've got a few new members, and I wonder, Daniela, if you could come down, and Emma, if you could come forward. I think Lucy might be here, and I also, Samira, I'm not sure if you're here this morning, but if you are, do come forward. I know a few other folks that are away and can't be here, but it's great to see Lucy and Emma here, and these are some of our new members. Daniela's just coming down as well, and with the people, when they come into membership of the church, those who kind of meet with them, pray for them and just see if there's a verse that God's got for them. And Lucy, here's a verse that someone had for you, and Emma for you, as well as a little certificate there of your membership, and Daniela for you as well. But one of the reasons why we just get these folks to come and stand at the front is so that we know that we're family together, and you know who they are, know their names, and so that they know that they're welcomed into this extended family that we are as a church. So I wonder if we could say together to them, in the name of the Lord, we welcome you. Okay, so 1, 2, 3. In the name of the Lord, we welcome you. And it's so wonderful to have you as part of this church. Should we just give them a big round of applause? Thank you so much. It's great to see what God is doing as He adds people to the church, and with the different things that have been going on this Christmas time. As Sean said, it was such a sweet carol service here yesterday for the kids, and the team just did a fantastic job. But also there was a kind of torch service going on, a special thing for those who are partially sighted. That was so exciting as well, and it reminded me there's just so many things going on in these days. And as well as all that's going on for Christmas, of course, I know, me and like us as a team, you're probably thinking about some things in January and the things that are going on there and things you've been planning and preparing for and what needs communicating about that. And I just wanted to communicate to the church something about January, and that is that I'd like you to be praying for Sean, who's going to actually have a couple of months study leaves for 2 months at the beginning of next year. He's going to just take time out to be sort of reflecting and thinking particularly about Mercy Ministries and how we can keep learning from others to do those kind of things well as just getting some time for replenishment. It's been 7 years since, this will be your 7th year coming into that Sean's been serving here on full-time staff, and we're just so thankful, Sean, for all you and Ali do to serve the church, and we'll just be praying that God will really use that time in a wonderful way for you. And, you know, it's been great, hasn't it, just to be here in God's presence together. And as God just speaks and prompts people, we also know we can keep coming back to His Word and that God will speak through that. So I wonder if we can turn to the Scriptures, then it'd be great to just pray. And we're in Matthew, we're continuing this series on Christmas dreams, looking at some of the dreams in the early part of Matthew's Gospel. And here we are in chapter 2, and I'm just going to read the story from verse 1 to 18, but just focus particularly on the middle part of this, a couple of the dreams that are here. But it's a great reading, and there's some things here that sometimes we don't always get a chance to hear in the carol service, but are no less part of the Christmas story. Do keep praying for tonight, and pray for Tim as he comes and shares God's word at the candlelight as well, and looking forward to what God's going to do. Just raise your hand if you don't have a Bible. We've got new Bibles that someone will put into your hand that we're going to just look at together. This is page 966 in those Bibles. Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where is the Messiah to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." And after they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their gifts, their treasures, and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother and during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." And when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted, because they are no more." Shall we pray together as we come? Jesus, as we come to your word, we come and say again, Lord, please open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word. Lord, we know that when you came into the world, you came into a world in conflict and with brokenness and pain. And Lord, still we're in this world, Lord, so much pain, so much weeping. We think again of Iraq and Syria and pray, God, please may your peace and joy and good news go even into dark places. And Lord, in our own lives, we long that every part would receive this amazing message of your good news. And so, Lord, come and speak, I pray. Help me, help us, in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you recognize this tune. I think Mike's got it here for us, and it's pretty well known, often around on the telly sometimes at Christmas. Here we go. What's that? What film? Great Escape. Great Escape. Here we have just a little reminder. It's a Great Escape. And, you know, escape sort of films and that kind of theme of escape is something that often kind of grips us. And we're kind of fascinated by it. And this story here is an amazing story, kind of full of escape. And I wonder this morning what you're dreaming of escaping from. You know, what are you longing to be free from? The word escape literally means to be free, to get free. What are you longing to be free from this Christmas? Maybe you're kind of longing to just be free from all the to-do lists and the sort of wrapping up paper and all the stuff that's got to be done. Maybe you're kind of just longing to be free from work, from the kind of sense of just having to get things done and go into the 9-to-5, and you're just looking forward to some time out just to be free from work. Maybe you're in a season of life when the kids are small and there's nappies everywhere and crying children, and you just think, oh, I can't wait till I'm be free from that season. Or maybe you're kind of missing the fact that the children have left the home, and you just can't wait till you're free from the kind of quietness of the house until the kids come back. It's funny, isn't it, how the different seasons change. I wonder, what are you longing to be free from? You know, our culture makes a big deal about escaping. The whole kind of leisure industry is a massive thing. Even, you know, at this time, you know, this sense of if you get this or go there, you're going to be free from this problem or that problem or from that situation. It's not just the kind of leisure industry or stuff like that. Actually, there's a whole kind of escapism industry, the whole kind of entertainment industry. Not just escaping kind of from real things in real life to real places, but just escaping from reality to a kind of fantasy world. What are you trying to escape from at the moment? And how are you trying to escape? You know, in the Bible, we see that there are kind of two main types, if you like, of escape. We're going to see these here in this passage. There are those who try and escape from the Word of God. We're going to see that Herod's a bit like that here. You might think in the Old Testament of Jonah, who was kind of running away from what God wanted to do. But then there are those, and we see again here in this passage, people like Joseph and the wise men, who escape through the Word of God. And Jonah turned from being one escaping from the Word of God to one who escaped through the Word of God. Or you think of the Exodus when God led the people through the Red Sea as He spoke and worked in amazing ways. And again, here in this passage, we're going to see, and this is what I want to mainly dwell on, is that when we really want to be discover what it is to be free, to find escape, the best way is escape through the Word of God. But here, just before we kind of dive into that, I want to say a word of warning. That I think sometimes at this Christmas time, we kind of get in our heads that, you know what, we're going to find most joy and most relaxing thing when we kind of listen to the world and we think, well, if I can just have a bit of me time, you know, and maybe for you it's kind of when work finishes, or maybe you're busy getting things ready for Christmas and it's literally after Christmas lunch, then I can get some me time, maybe between Christmas and New Year, and, you know, that's when it's all going to get better. You're going to be free. And it's ironic, isn't it? Sometimes at Christmas, everyone thinks like that. And guess what? Christmas afternoon's a nightmare. And Boxing Day's problems. Because life doesn't work like that. You know, when God says in His Word, live a life of love, there's not a little post-it on it saying, oh, except between Christmas and New Year. And sometimes we think that the way to be free is to be free from the Word of God. Maybe we don't go to the extent of Herod here. You see, Herod, he knew God's word, didn't he? He actually knew that there was this king that was coming. We read here in like verse 6, he'd seen and the people around him had told him the word of God, and he knew that there was a king coming, but he had a kingdom. He had his way of doing his things. He didn't want God's kingdom messing with his kingdom. And so Herod, he tries to escape from the Word of God. And he goes to quite extreme measures. He kind of looks to eradicate it. I don't imagine any of us here are going to go to as extreme measures as Herod. But maybe we're going to do what I think is actually just as problematic, really, though it doesn't feel as bad. We just ignore God's Word. It's like, well, God's saying this. I'm afraid, God, this is my time out. I'm not listening to you now. This is me time. Try and escape from God's Word by ignoring it. You know, it's one of the things I've been thinking about Herod that read of J.C. Ryle, a great commentator, wrote this: let's beware of resting satisfied with head knowledge, like Herod had. It's a wonderful and excellent thing when rightly used, but a man may have much of it and yet perish everlastingly. The question is, what's the state of our hearts? As we come into this Christmas time, as we think about God and what He's saying to us and God and His Word, what's the state of our heart towards the things of God? As we look here at the Magi and at Joseph, and as we spend some time thinking about these dreams here in the verse 12 and verse 13, we see there's a very different heart they come with. These folks who want to escape through the Word of God. And I want us to just look here briefly as we come into some wonderful ways in which they escape through the Word of God. And so just look with me at verse 10. Just see something of their different heart here. I love this. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. I think of Alana jumping out of this box. And I want to say, guys, come tonight. You know, as Tim talks about unspeakable joy. And let's be coming kind of with unspeakable joy ourselves. Come and worship tonight. Sing your heart out. Sing praise to Him. May people know that there's a God who reigns. And come and let's worship Him. That's what they do in verse 11. They bow down and worshiped Him. I say, look for those times. There are a few words about this, about setting aside time to just come and be with Jesus and speak to Him and listen to Him. And hey, you can do that even this afternoon. Just take some time out and just go, Jesus, I worship You. It's great You're here this morning and taking time just to come and worship Him. See something here of their hearts. They come and bring their gifts. Let's keep bringing our gifts, even to look ways of doing something beautiful for Jesus in these days. But here's the thing I want us to see as we look into the two dreams here. Verse 12, as they come with that heart of wanting to be open to God's Word, God speaks to them. And He speaks to them through a dream. It's a very simple dream. Verse 12, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. It's a word of warning. God spoke to these wise men, these magi, through a dream. And God, as we saw last week, He can. He speaks through dreams. He does it in all through the Bible. He does it all different parts of the world. He might be trying to do that to you, even in these days, warning you, maybe through a dream. And of course, we have God's Word, which is how we weigh dreams. We were seeing that last week. And God's Word also has warnings for us. In fact, Old and New Testament, there are tons of warnings. Warnings that I think, even at this Christmas time, would be great for us to hear. But here's the thing about warnings. Sometimes you can think, oh, no, do I really need to hear that? I don't know if you've ever heard someone do a kind of a warning or a sort of fire alarm announcement and say, okay, it's here. Or maybe you've even been in a place where a fire alarm's gone off and you kind of think, really? Doesn't look like there's any problem. Do I need to hear that? Maybe you've had a dream or you've read something in God's Word and it just sounds kind of like, oh, really? I mean, imagine the Magi. They get this dream, and the dream's saying, look, Herod's going to come and try and kill the child. Or they're just being warned, don't go back to Herod. Maybe they didn't even know that bit. I'm just reading it and realizing they might not have even known that bit. So imagine that. They're thinking, Herod, we shouldn't go back to him. And yet, Herod had specifically said he wanted to come and worship the child. And Herod had specifically said, come back to me. So they've got a decision to make now, haven't they? God seems to be saying something through a dream. Seems kind of like an odd thing. You know, why shouldn't they go back to Herod? And Herod specifically asked them. And Herod's a man of influence. And they, you know, he's probably, if they disobey him, he might get a bit angry. Look down at verse 16 and you'll see what happened. When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was, what's the word? Furious. He did get angry. And yet when they hear this warning, they heed it. They could have ruled it out, but they listened, took note. And guys, this Christmas time, we've got to think, who are we going to listen to? Who are we going to be paying attention to their voice? And if God's going to speak and bring a warning, are we going to respond to it? One of the things as I was preparing this passage, I remembered a time when Rosie had shared with me just a warning God gave her one time. And I just said to Rosie, would you be willing to come and just share that? So Rosie, I wonder if you could just come forward and we could just encourage Rosie as she comes. And is this going to work, this one here? That'd be great. Thanks, Rosie.
Hi. God did speak to me in a dream. It was about 10 years ago. I was trying to remember when it was, but Esther was a baby, so it was probably about 10 or 11 years ago, and it was in the middle of the night, and I'd actually been disturbed in the night, and I was in that place where I was just drifting back into sleep, you know, that delicious place just before you fall asleep, and I was in like a dreamlike state, really, and I found that I was at the end of my garden, looking back up at the back of our house, and I felt that there was something I needed to see, but I couldn't quite see it, and it took me a little while to see it. But up on our, right by where our chimney stack is, there was a black creature, and it was all black, and it had big black wings, and it was crouched down trying to hide, had one of its wings over its head, and it was trying to hide on top of our house. And I immediately felt very afraid of this creature. I knew it was a bad thing, and I jerked awake. In an instant, I was awake. And I was like, what was that? And God just spoke to my heart, and He said, yep, that was the devil, and he wants to get into your home. He wants to get into your family, and he wants to destroy what's there and tear it apart. But He said, it's okay. He wants to get in, but he can't, because I won't let him. I will not let him in, and you're protected. And stay under my protection. Keep close to me, and he won't be able to do anything that I won't let him do. And I was very reassured, obviously, from that. And what I took from that, yes, he gave me a warning, a clear warning. He showed me something that was real that I couldn't actually see with my natural eyes, but it was real, and he showed it to me. He gave me reassurance, and he gave me an instruction. And I think, Dave, when you asked me to share, you said, you know that time when God told you to pray for your children? And I was thinking, actually, you know what? I don't think he did actually say, pray for your children. But he didn't need to. Because once he'd showed me the threat, there was no way I was not going to. So, yeah, that was, I think I'll stop there.
Thank you, Rose. Yes, really, it's humbling, isn't it? You know, God catches your attention, gives you a warning, wakes you up to the realities. And you know, when I've been thinking about this theme of escape, I've recognized that so often we just want to escape from, you know, some of these things like our work or our situation, and yet actually the reality is that escape has a connotation of conflict often, and there is a conflict going on. There is a battle that you're not going to get time out from over this Christmas time. There's a battle raging over our families and church and over the lives of the people you're trying to bring tonight. There's a battle that's raging. And we can either think, are we going to escape from the Word of God, or are we going to escape through the Word of God? When He speaks, how are we going to react? The wise men, though it was costly, though it meant maybe going back another route, hearing the voice of God above the voice of others, they heeded that warning. And then we come to Joseph. Look what happens with Joseph. Verse 13, when they had gone, the Magi had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Second dream in our reading. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. With Joseph, the angel in the dream is very specific. And here's what I want us to see, that not just do we get words of warnings, and this word is a warning here in verse 13 as well, but with it comes a call to action. A call to action, a call to do something. Look what it says of Joseph. It says you need to get up, you need to take the child and the mother and escape to Egypt. And then you need to stay there. Now, I just want you to imagine Joseph getting this this word. Because, you know, actually, I don't know if you've ever traveled with children, but that's actually quite complicated. You know, you've got sometimes things you need to prepare, and actually traveling with them is not easy. If it's a few hours going away somewhere, maybe you're in a car or something like that, it's sometimes challenging. This was a journey to somewhere he had never known. At zero notice, he was to get up and journey to a place that he'd never been to before. It was about 200 miles away. So if you travel about 20 miles a day at that kind of time, that's a 10-day journey. A 10-day journey with a child at no notice. So what does Joseph do? Look at verse 14. So he got up. Took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. Left to stay there for an unknown length of time. And I'm thinking, respect, Joseph. Serious respect. This guy, when God speaks, he obeys. He acts on it. You've heard me say probably many times if you've come regularly here, but you know, delayed obedience is disobedience. When God speaks, that's the time to act. And He often speaks to help us. And we miss it at our peril. I think in the Bible of just the many things where God just gives a really clear call. There's so many things. When I think of 2 Corinthians where God says, you know, 2 Corinthians 5, be reconciled to God. It says, now is the time of salvation. And if you're here, as Sean said earlier, and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, He's come that you might be saved. And it's like, now is the time. Be reconciled to God. This is a moment. A moment to get right with Him. There's a word in Acts 2 about, you know, the guys that in the day of Pentecost say, what must we do to be saved? And Peter says, hey, repent and be baptized. It's a call. It's a clear call. It's great. Just in these recent weeks, a number of folks have now asked for baptism. And on the 11th of January, we're going to have a baptism service. And if you're just thinking, you know what? Yeah, God's been speaking to me in that way. Hey, join with them. Maybe you've been hearing these words about prayer, and you know that God's been speaking to you about prayer. Again, so many clear calls in the Scriptures. Watch and pray. Maybe it's a call to go, even this afternoon, to just go and, you know, that word comes, doesn't it? Go into the whole world and make disciples. Maybe there's a call in your life just right now that God's saying, go. But here's the thing I wanted to just bring out of this word to act on that I just felt tied in with the warning words. And that is what we see a number of times in Scripture in the New Testament, this call to flee. Flee, flee temptation, flee sexual immorality in 1 Corinthians 6, even flee materialism. I was doing some research and I came across 1 Timothy chapter 6, which is this part where Paul writes to Timothy and says flee, and I was thinking, what is he called to flee from? And here's the context: but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it, but if we have food and clothing we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. It's kind of like a warning. And so what does Paul say? He goes on and says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this. So like a word of warning and a call to action. Flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And he goes on and says, this fight, the good fight of the faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Guys, maybe you're going to get a word of warning this Christmas. Maybe you're just about to buy something. Maybe even, like so many of the adverts are saying, kind of a little something for yourself even. And suddenly you get this word of warning. Hey, this is not what it's about. Maybe there'll be a temptation to just watch some rubbish because after all you've done so much for other people, and you'll just get this warning, say no, turn it off. Maybe you'll be at an office party and you'll be just chatting and maybe just, you know, having a drink like everyone else, and you're suddenly picking up signals from the person you're with and you think, whoa, I just need to stop talking with this person and just maybe leave the party or go and talk to someone else. Hey, heed the warnings. Heed the warnings. Escaping through God's word, through the promptings in his word. Maybe he'll warn you in a dream. Maybe it might be a prompting of his spirit. But heed the warnings. I want to come back to just 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There's a wonderful promise here in 1 Corinthians 10. There's a warning too. It says these things happened to them, talking about people in the Old Testament as examples, and were written down as warnings for us on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you, it goes on to say, except that which is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. There'll be a way of an escape. Here's the word. There's a warning. But there'll be a way of escape. So take it. Take it. And maybe you're at the time of thinking, you know what, I've done that. I've taken a few of those escape routes that God's provided. And maybe you're a bit like Steve McQueen is in The Great Escape. You've kind of got out, as it were. You're riding your motorbike. If you've seen the film, you'll know it well. And you're kind of you're going around. You're thinking, yeah, this is going well. I'm escaping quite well. And then here's this little bit of what happens to Steve. So I think we've got this on the screen here. Such a great moment. And maybe you're hearing this and you're thinking, well, yeah, there was that warning. And there was that call to pray or to flee temptation. And I did it for a while. But actually, then I got caught. I got entangled. I missed the jump or the opportunity. And maybe it's your own kind of failure or sin in your own life that you're just aware of at the moment as you come into Christmas time. Or maybe sometimes it can just be the circumstance of life. Maybe a big tragedy or something hits you and you think, you know what? I thought this was about kind of God blessing me and me getting through and me kind of escaping and it being good. What's going on, God? And if you read this, chapters of chapter 2 of Matthew, and you think this is just about kind of the Magi getting it right, or Joseph as the kind of center kind of piece here of him getting it right and obeying swiftly, if you think it's just about that, or just about them kind of getting out of trouble. You know, Mary and Joseph and Jesus, phew, they're safe. Great, it's a good story. You're missing the big picture here. The big picture is something way more than that. The big picture is that there's a word of hope in Jesus, that he's the Savior who's come. Not like Herod to kind of cling to his kingdom at all costs. He's the King who's come to die for his people to save them from their sins, even when they're not obedient like Joseph. He's the one who's come to give them eternal life, even when it costs them their life, like it did for the babes in Bethlehem, those Bethlehem martyrs killed for their identification with Jesus, even just through their age. He's the one who brings hope. Hope this Christmas. Because actually the escape plan, the salvation plan, is not just about me getting through this week or you getting through this week. The escape plan is massive. It's about Jesus coming into the world to set it free from sin and the consequences of sin and death, to bring eternal life. It's about him. And you said a few times, Sean, at service, it's all about Jesus. And it's right here in my notes towards the end. Tell them it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. He is the centerpiece of this whole passage. You couldn't make sense of these dreams and of this whole different escape journeys if you didn't see that he's right at the heart. Because otherwise it ends with this weeping. This weeping of those for whom they didn't escape. What about that God? Well, it doesn't end there, does it? Our reading might end there. But do you notice in the dream it said, stay there until. Go to Egypt, but stay there until I tell you. Because actually, Jesus is going to come back and he's going to go to the cross and he's going to give his life. You see, it's not about Jesus' protection either, but he's going to destroy death and he's going to be raised to new life, to give life to these babes, to give life to you and I, to forgive our sins, to be good news to this city and all of its mess and brokenness. And so, yes, there's words of warning. Yes, there's words for us to act on. But even when we feel like we're not kind of coping in the whole thing that is Christmas and all the battles that we face, here's the wonderful thing. It's not just us trying to jump over different things like Steve McQueen. There's someone who's won the war and he's coming to rescue us. And even now the enemy knows the war is kind of, it's officially done. It's finished at the cross. It's defeated. And what we're in now is the age of the kingdom breaking forward. There's hope. Because there's Jesus, and you and I can trust him. So don't try and escape from the Word of God. It's futile. You can't do it. Escape through the Word of God. Escape through Jesus this Christmas time. Come to him. Listen to him. Respond to the things he's saying to you. And I just want to give some space, even as we come to the end of our service, for us to just do that. So maybe we could just bow our heads right now. Lord Jesus, in this moment, we just want to say thank you, Savior. Thank you, God, that you do speak to us through your word, through dreams, through promptings of your spirit. Thank you for this word we've been reading about. And I want just in this moment to ask two questions that we often use in discipleship times with people, and maybe you've often thought about these questions, or maybe you're hearing them for the first time. And here are my questions for you this Christmas time? What is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? Maybe there's that warning that he's been bringing. Maybe there's a call to action. Maybe it's that reminder that in Jesus there's grace and hope. What is God saying to you? Holy Spirit, come and just be impressing things, even from this message or this service, personally on our hearts, I pray. And the second question is this: what are you doing about it? When God speaks, that's the time to act. Maybe it's to turn from something you know is dangerous. Maybe it's to set aside that time to pray for your kids or for those around you. Maybe it's that call to repent, be baptized, or repent and believe again. I know so often in my life there's that, not just repenting and believing to get into the Christian life, but to keep going on. And repenting isn't turning and going, oh, well, I'm back with you, God, but I guess now I can't do stuff for you. I'm rule myself out kind of by the mistakes I've made in the past. No, repenting is turning and returning to the thing that God's called you to do. And so, Lord, we repent and believe in you afresh, wanting to be people of prayer, of faith, confident in you, Jesus, because it's all about you. So what is God saying to you, and what are you doing about it? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, continue listening and just being in the Lord's presence as we continue to worship, and Becca and the band are just going to lead us in a few songs.